Thank you very much. That was very, very nice. Thank you. Very thoughtful. Never invite a speaker without a clock. Let me give you a hint. Fact is, it is an opportunity for me. It's the biggest chus. It's a wonderful. I love looking around, seeing wonderful, beautiful faces. I try to come in once in a while to America, but with the war, as my family knows, I said, so long as there are people that are not doing well, I'm not doing too much moving around. But we had a bar mitzvah this week, and for Rosh Hashiva, I would probably fly to the moon as well. So it's my schus to be here, my schus to be talking to you gentlemen for the first time. Nice to meet everybody. We're in Parshas Vayechi. And Parshas Vayechi is the closing parsha of Sefer Bereishis. And probably, I think it would be safe to say that the headline in Parshas Vayechi is the concept of bracha. We have Yaakov Avinu giving his brachas at the beginning of the parsha. He's giving brachas to the 12 Shvatim. So I thought I'd like to talk about the idea of the brachas that we see from Yaakov Avinu and how it is pertinent, and take away some pragmatic takeaways for ourselves. So let's start with the towards the middle of the parsha, where Yaakov is giving a bracha to the 12 Shvatim. It's very interesting. Yaakov, we know there's Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, and we're for sure not judging anybody. We have no concept at all of who they really were, but the Torah is endless and timeless, and everyone, every generation is allowed and expected to learn from it in their own capacity. Yaakov Avinu is called the best of the fathers, Bechir HaAvos. And one of the reasons for that, again, we're not judging, this is what it says, and one of the reasons for that is because where Avram and Yitzchak were, so to speak, not 100% successful, Yaakov had 12 Shvatim, all winners. So that's why Chazal look at that, and I'm going to use that as based, whatever I'm saying is based on Sfarim, and to try to understand what that means, that Yaakov Avinu was the best of the fathers and the 12 Shvatim, what's the secret? So the first thing we need to know is that a bracha of a tzaddik, the idea of a bracha of a tzaddik, is not just, you know, have wealth and have health, all that's good. But the bracha is where he understands who you are, he understands what your kochos are, what your strengths are, what your qualities are, and the bracha is a bracha where Hashem will give you the opportunity to develop those qualities. And what we learn from Yaakov Avinu is incredibly, incredibly important for every single person in this room, myself included. And that is 12 Shvatim are 12 different people with 12 different personalities. It's not a cookie cutter. It's not everyone's got to fit into the box, because everybody is their own individual personality. Yaakov Avinu was able to understand that, and he was able to key in on every single one of his children. And from there, if we study the brachas properly, we're going to see that that's exactly what the bracha was. Each bracha was keying in on the person's qualities, on each one of his kids' qualities, his midos, and Yaakov was telling them where they are able to grow. And that is the idea of the bracha. When you have a father that's able and concerned to understand each child from where they're coming from, that is going to be a successful father, of course, b'siyata d'shmaya. But that's a very important point. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, I imagine you know, was the creator of what we call the Musar movement, and he had a Talmud. One of his Talmidim was Rav Naftali Amsterdam. Rav Naftali Amsterdam was one of his Talmidim. And Rabbi Yisrael once met his Talmud, and his Talmud looked a little bit despondent, a little bit down. So Rabbi Yisrael said, Naftali, what's going on? You don't look so good. Naftali said, he said, I was just thinking, you know, it's not happening. If I would have the head, the brains of the Shah Gesari. The Shah Gesari was, in those days, one of the well-known, brilliant Gaonim. And if I would have the brains of the Shagas, if I would have the Yirat Shamayim of the Yisod V'Shorash HaAvoda, and that was a Rav in those times, that was tremendous, known to be a big, big Yirat Shamayim. And if I would have the Midos of the Rebbe, of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, well, then I'd be able to produce. But who am I? Who am I? Rabbi Yisrael told him, Naftali, you got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. Because Hashem doesn't want you to have other people's brains. Hashem wants you to have your brains. The brains that He gave you, and the Yirat Shemayim that He gave you, and the Midot that He gave you, that's what He wants. And from there, you're expected to grow. It's very, very individualized. And it's a beautiful, beautiful point. There was a Rebbe, an Admor, they call him nowadays, with the same concept, It's the story goes that he once met a chassid. Same, very similar concept that the chassid said, you know, the Mishnah says that a person has to say, Masai yagiu ma'asai l'ma'asai avosai. When will my actions get to be the actions of my fathers, of Rabbi Yitzchak and Yaakov? And the chassid says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, I'm so far away from it. Me and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So the story goes that the Rebbe told his chassid, very similar to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he told his chassid, you know what, it's interesting that you're worried about that. I'm not. I have no problem when I get up to Shemayim and they're going to say to me, why were you not like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? The Rebbe's talking, not the chassid. Why were you not like Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? I'm going to say, Ribbono Shalom, what do you expect? You know who I am. You know how far away I am from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. But he said, says the Rebbe to the Chassid, but I'll tell you what I am going to be afraid of, when Hashem will say, okay, but why weren't you like you? Why did you not develop and become who you could become? That's what I'm afraid of. And it's the same message. The message is, it's all about us being individuals and what our strengths are. One more point before we go on to the next topic about Yaakov Vinu and the Brach of the Shvatim. Amazing, amazing insight. Yaakov Vinu, it says that when he, right before he died, he instructed his children to carry his coffin up to Eretz Yisrael in a particular way. The Svarim, the Medrash says that the way he told them to stand, 12 Shvatim, 3-3-3, is exactly the way the Jews encamped in the Midbar. Exactly the way the Jews encamped in the Midbar. There are four sides, Yehuda, Reuben, Manasseh, I believe, Dan. And in the middle of that encampment was the Mishkan. The Mishkan. And Yaakov Avinu told his children to carry him up that way, to carry his mita up that way, where the idea is that Yaakov is personifying the Shekhinah. Yaakov Avinu is personifying the Shekhinah, and the four directions of the 12 children are going to be encamped around Yaakov the way they're going to be encamped in the Midbar. So the Kli Yoker has a fascinating, beautiful insight to this. And he says, we just mentioned that everybody's got their own personality and everybody's got their own qualities and everybody's got their own talent and strength. And that's so true. That's so true. But the center of our lives has always got to be the Mishkan, the Shekhinah, Judaism. And you think about it, I'm going to give you an example, okay, a very simple example. You know, you have a boy might be very good in basketball. Let's say, for example, good in basketball, very good, very talented. So when you're on the court, enjoy it, play to your fullest. But while you're doing that, as you're doing that, you can allow yourself to say, you know, part of why I'm doing this is because I want to be in health. I want to be in good shape. I like sports. And I want to be in good shape to be able to be a better Jew, to live my life better and healthier as a Jew. I want to be able to learn how to deal with challenges in life as I'm improving my shot. I'm learning something about that. It's not just that I want to be the best for everyone to ogle and goggle at me. I'm working on success. I'm working on challenges. And those are things that we can take as ourselves in our own Jewish life. You want to become a doctor one day, you want to become a lawyer, unbelievable, great. But if you have the Shekhinah in the center, you'll always be able to ask yourself, what is it that Hashem wants from me now? And how can I use what I have in order to be able to use it for a holy mission as well? And it changes life totally. It changes life totally. And it is such a wonderful piece of feeling when a person realizes, and in the back of his mind, maybe in the front of his mind, is that whatever I'm doing, I'm going to find a way to make it also Jewish. Something to do. I mean, how I'm going to be able to serve Hashem better with this, how I'm going to be able to serve the Jewish people better with this, to be a better person, to make a bigger Kiddush Hashem. There are so many. I just heard the other day, interesting thing. I don't want to sound too old, but in my days, the idea in Manhattan of having a minyan for mincha, of having all the people in Manhattan, all the people in your office, the people in your building get together for a minyan for mincha was not at all common. Okay, there were one or two minyanim there. I'd never worked in Manhattan, I can't tell you, but I do know it wasn't as common. Today, it is a known thing. Offices have rooms, have times for mincha, or times for marav possibly as well. This makes a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So you're a person that is going to be working in Manhattan, and you have time to say to your client, or whatever it is, you know, at this hour, I'm not coming in, you know, I'm busy, I got a meeting, I have a meeting with somebody, very important. It's a fantastic Kiddush Hashem. So the idea of keeping the Shechina in the middle of our lives. But remember, four different directions means there are different personalities. It's not that we all have to do the exact same actions. We got to be who we are. But if we can be who we are, together with that focus, that changes life. Let's go for a moment, we're talking about brachas, to the beginning of the parasha. In the beginning of the parasha, there are the very, very famous bracha that has been throughout generations. Anyone know what that bracha is? Anyone know the bracha at the beginning of the parasha? Anybody?
Ephraim Menashe,
that's right. Where Yaakov Avinu says that for generations to come, fathers will be giving a bracha to their children, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Chemenashe. Very good. Very good. Kefraim Chemenashe. Fathers will be giving, whether it's a Friday night, whether it's under the chuppah, whether it's once a year before Yom Kippur, whatever it is, right? For girls, we say your Karacha Rivka, but it's all based on the same format of Yisimcha Elokim, and that comes from this week's parasha of Yaakov giving a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. Great. What is so special about this bracha? Because it has a lot of energy. We just made a wedding in the summertime, thank God, and my daughter-in-law is a wonderful, wonderful girl. She lost her father about 5 years ago. And I was sort of caught off guard at the chuppah, so you give brachas, and I asked her if she would mind, you know, she's not my daughter, she's my daughter-in-law, would she mind if I give her a bracha before the chuppah? She said, not only would I not mind, I'm waiting for it. She said, I haven't heard my father's bracha in 5 years. And that was very touching. It's a powerful bracha. Let me ask you a question, which I think is a bomb question, a great question, and then I'll give you two answers. I love this question. The question is like this, that preceding the bracha that Yaakov gives, he tells Yosef as follows, that your two children, Ephraim and Menashe, Keruven v'Shimon Yuli, they will be like Reuven and Shimon. Ephraim and Menashe will be like, okay, great, beautiful. So let me ask you a question. Okay? We in the classroom, we heard there's a concept of a Mercedes. Okay? Let's assume Mercedes is a top car. Okay. Someone tells you, the Skoda, which is, I don't know if they have them here, it's popular in Israel. The Skoda is just like the Mercedes. Okay? That's what you hear. So I'm asking you a question. If you heard that and you had your choice, right, which one would you take? Right? A new drink just came out. I don't know if you guys like Coke. I'm a Coke fan. If you like Coke, right? This new drink is just like Coke, right? Which one are you going to take, right? So you go for the original, right? If the imitations are busy telling you that they are just like that, of course, they didn't, very nice, very good. I wish you a lot of luck. Give me that. I don't want the. So here's my question. It's not my question. It's a Sfasemis. Unbelievable question. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, I want you to know that your two children, Ephraim and Asher, are going to be like Reuven and Shimon. Okay. So they're going to be like Reuven and Shimon. So if I have to give a bracha to my kids, which one would they prefer? The Skoda or the Mercedes? So why don't we give a bracha every Friday night or whenever? Yisimcha Elokim Keruven V'Shimon. After all, it Menashe and Ephraim Menashe are Keruven V'Shimon. Good question. You got it? Good question. Good question. Good question. Great question. Why do we say Ephraim Menashe? I'm going to give you two answers. Two answers. The first answer is like really nice and practical. The first answer is as we. Hopefully no, right? When Yaakov actually gives the bracha, he places his right hand on the younger Ephraim and the left hand on the older Menashe. And he's giving Ephraim, so to speak, the preference in the bracha. The Chazal tell us that neither of the two had any problem with that, meaning that Ephraim, by seeing that he got the right hand, the preferred bracha, did not feel any sort of gaiva, any sort of one-upmanship over Menashe. You know, you got a younger brother here, right? And he has an older brother, right? The Bechor. And Menashe and Ephraim, who's the younger brother, who just got that green light that you're getting the preferred bracha, nothing. He has no feelings of gaiva, of superiority. Nothing. This is what my grandfather gave me. That's it. Menashe, who's the older brother, the Bechor. Now, I don't know if anyone here is either a Bechor or a younger brother, but we know the concept, right? And Menashe, who's the older brother, is seeing this happen. He's seeing Yaakov Avinu giving the preferential bracha to Ephraim, and he's cool. No problem. If that's what the grandfather wants, it's good. So that is why we say Ephraim and Menashe, because we want to tell our kids that just like Ephraim and Menashe were loving to each other, brotherly to each other, and did not have any compunctions, any real unhealthy competition one with another, that's what we want over here in our lives with our children, that they can understand that there's nothing to be jealous about, there's nothing to be to feel superior about. It's all a matter of you and who you are and what you can do with yourself. That's one answer. I'll give you one more answer. And this answer really goes well with what we started with. Okay? And the answer is as follows. This happens to be one of my favorite thoughts on Parsha. Okay? What I'm about to tell you is one of my favorite thoughts. And it's like this. The question is, why do we say in the bracha to our children for hundreds and hundreds of years, be like Ephraim and Menashe, when Ephraim and Menashe are second to Reuven and Shimon, apparently? So the answer is as follows. Reuven and Shimon were Shvatim. They were Shvatim. They were two of the 12 Shvatim. They were born Shvatim. Yaakov Avinu and Leah. And both Yaakov, Leah, and even Rachel, all three of them knew that they are creating Shvatim. As a matter of fact, anything in the parashas that we saw of what seemed to be competition between Rachel and Leah, we know was not personal. It was all L'shem Shemayim. They were just wanting to be the ones to give birth to the Shvatim. Reuven and Shimon, as we would call them, were natural-born citizens. Rabotai, Ephraim and Menashe were not born by Yaakov and one of his mothers, and one of his wives. They were not brought up in Eretz Yisrael. They were not brought up in a community of Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. They were children of Yosef and Asnas. They were brought up in Egypt, and I might add, they were children of the higher class of the Egyptians. Now, Yosef, that took care of himself, is amazing. But now you got kids, and we know what we could do, right? Right? There's a lot going on outside that palace, maybe even in the palace. And yet, Menashe and Ephraim and Menashe grew up and worked on themselves to be on the level of Shvatim. When Yaakov Avinu said that Ephraim and Menashe are going to be like Reuven and Shimon, he's saying these aren't going to be, and we know that Ephraim and Menashe are counted in the 12 Shvatim. When there are times that we take Levi out and break Yosef into two, and Menashe and Ephraim are the 12 Shvatim. What are we hearing from this? Working on yourself is what God wants. It is not a matter of what you're born with. It's not a matter of the family you're born into. It's a matter of how you are going to develop yourself. That is the concept. And therefore, I'll just tell you very quickly, there's a Stipler. The Stipler is the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And he writes, I have a great story about the Stipler. I don't have time to say it now, but I'll just say one thing about the Stipler. He writes, he says unequivocally, a person who works for his living, and he works honestly, and he's busy hours a day to support a family. But after work, he's spending his time learning Torah. He's spending his time doing mitzvahs and living life l'shem shemayim and avodas Hashem. He could be working all day, but if on his free time he's using it for the right things, that is going to put him in the front row up in shemayim. The disciple writes that. Amazing. We need to take our qualities that we have. We need to take our talents that we have. We need to take whatever the challenges that we have, and when we utilize that and grow from there, that makes us ke Ephraim v'chemenasha. We should give you all guys a bracha. Keep on growing. Keep on enjoying yourself. Live well. And we should know who we are, what our individuality is, and we should work strongly to develop it to the best way possible. Thank you. Amen.